Well, when Brother Eddie spoke to me, I wasn't sure, but it's very difficult for me to say no to an opportunity to share whatever the Lord may put on my heart. And it was very interesting that this morning, Brother Paul was playing three songs right along the theme of what Brother Eddie had mentioned and what the Lord put on my heart. My sheep know my voice. And that's important for us to know God's voice. And the next was, Jesus led me all the way. And that was followed by, I walk with the King. There's quite a message in those three songs. And then when we began to sing, we sang, guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Do you get the theme? Do you get the picture? Do you see what God was saying to us even at the beginning? That's why it's good to be here before the meeting starts, because the meeting really starts before the time announced. The meeting with Jesus begins early. The verse that came to my mind this morning was from Psalm 32:8. Now, I memorized it in the King James. I'm going to use that. You can look it up, whatever version you have. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way thou shalt go, I will guide thee with mine eye. And I think it's very important for us to listen to the Lord. How is he going to instruct us and teach us if our ears are closed? We have to be willing to listen. That's one of the things that we were sharing in our ladies' meetings this last year or so, was that how God speaks to us and how we can better listen to God. And I was reminded even that during that time of it was just a brief article that came, was being taught in companies on 10 different ways of listening, and the fact that so often we listen selectively, we listen for emotive words, we listen to hear what we want to hear. And if we really listen carefully, there's so much more that we can hear. And I think the same is true in the spiritual realm when it comes to listening to the Lord. We have to be very careful how we hear. And I'm going to pose a couple of questions, and they're not in the book that Brother Eddie read, and they're not what Sister Linda shared yesterday. And you may not even find them, per se, quoted exactly that way in the Bible. But I want to ask you a question this afternoon. Do you want to hear God? Do you really want to hear God? Because the question is not, is God speaking? The question is, am I listening? And do I want to hear? Because if I want to hear, God is a great communicator. And he will find a way to communicate with you and me in a way that we can understand if we want to hear. And my next question is this, do you and are you willing to obey? And as it was mentioned recently, that we would obey promptly and fully and joyfully. Not dragging our feet, not, well, if I have to, not partially, but fully, promptly, and joyfully. And my third question is, are you willing to wait God's timing? My experience has been, I'm going to share a few of my experiences with you just for illustration, and I've shared some of these with some of you before, but my experience has been that often God has planted a desire in my heart long before he brought the thing to fruition. And sometimes it's been years. Sometimes it's months. But whatever length of time, am I willing to obey God promptly, but am I also willing to wait for his timing on things? The other verse that came to me is from Proverbs 3:6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. There's no maybes there. If in all of your ways you will acknowledge God, he will direct your paths. And I would challenge you, and I want to say this before I forget it. You need to have a notebook that you write down the things that God is doing for you, because it will help you focus on answers to prayer. It will help you see God's hand in things, and you won't be able anymore to say, oh, that just happened, because you know that that was a divine appointment, that God worked those circumstances to bring those circumstances together, to answer those prayers, to do those things. There are a couple of biblical examples of following the Lord, and I think of Abraham when I think of that. And in Hebrews 11, we're told that he went out not knowing where he was going. Now that takes faith, and it's no wonder he's listed in the Hebrews 11, the chapter of the heroes of faith, because Abraham believed God and he went even though he didn't know. And you know, God usually does not show us the end at the beginning. He just says, take this step, and then I'll show you the next step. And when you obey me now, I'll show you the next thing that's to happen. And when you look back, you say, wow, look at the way God led. Look at the way he provided. How wonderful God is. But you don't see it now. You just see this far. And God says, take that step of faith and follow me. And that was what Abraham did. And then I also thought of the example of the children of Israel at the Red Sea. Now, they were hemmed in by circumstances, weren't they? And I like, Sister Linda, the way you presented it last night. We know the end of the story, but just picture yourself being there and not knowing the end of the story. Picture yourself with that group of people facing the Red Sea. There's no way across. No one had heard of anyone who had parted a sea to make a way. The enemy was coming in from behind. There was no way to the side. They were trapped. And this afternoon, you may feel trapped. You may think there's no way out, no way around your circumstances, and you feel caught up in it and trapped by it. But that's when you can expect a miracle. That's when God is going to perform a miracle for you. You've got a deadline 2 weeks from now. Hey, God's going to perform a miracle in the next 2 weeks. Keep on the lookout for it. Be expecting it. My parents said more than one time that a person of faith is the person who can sing the doxology with their head in an empty flour barrel. Now, most of you don't even know what a flour barrel is, okay? You're too young for that. But when you can sing praises to God and sing praise God from whom all blessings flow, when you don't see any way out and the flour barrel is empty, that is trust in God. And God wants us to trust him. Brother Gordon Waldfogel had said that God works without intermission, and I think we need to keep that in focus. That even though we don't see God working at this particular moment, he's working behind the scenes, and he's going to work things out. There was, I think, another thing that has been taught here that we need to keep in focus is that when we're walking with God in obedience, we will have God's guidance, and we will have God's provision. He's not going to lead you without providing. And as he provides, he will lead. And if you really want to know, and you're walking with him in obedience, but we have to take that step of obedience. There were two basic concepts among many that my folks taught me. I was privileged to grow up in a Christian home. My father was a pastor. But my mother emphasized one thing, and that was praying through. And what she meant by that was that you prayed until you knew that God had answered. You may not see the answer. You may not yet know for sure what it is, but you know that God has heard and God has answered, and so you can let the matter rest now because you've prayed through. And she told us, I have two sisters, and she told us, she said, there may be times when you're following God that you'll get to a point where there are problems and there are questions and you'll begin to wonder, but if you've prayed it through, that you know that you know that you know that you're following God's leading, then you won't have any more questions. You can walk through the rough places, and you can do it with joy. And the other was one that my father taught us, and that was to follow God's promptings. And you know, God doesn't usually come with a big horn and blare out, this is what you're to do. But it's a still small voice within, and we have to follow that prompting. And one thing from his life that illustrates that was that he was in Connecticut. He was I guess toward the end of the Depression, and he felt led and prompted to turn down a road that he'd never been on before, a back road, and so he followed the prompting and he turned down that road. And a little while later, he felt led to stop at a particular house, and he stopped at that house. And he went up and knocked on the door, and what did he find? He found a woman who was desperately in need of healing in her body. And she asked my father, she said, "Do you believe in divine healing? My pastor doesn't." And he said, "Certainly I believe in divine healing." And he prayed with her, and God answered prayer and healed her. Now, what if he had not followed that nudging of the Holy Spirit to turn and drive down that particular road at that particular time? You know, many of our opportunities for witness are going to come instantaneously. You're not going to expect it. It's just going to be there. And that's why God wants us to always be ready. But let me share a couple of things with you from my life and experience. And I can't share all of them. We'd be here a long time. It's wonderful to walk with God, isn't it? Yes. Because you're walking in God's provision and you're walking in a miracle that's unfolding day after day, hour after hour, and you just expect God to meet you in those things. We were in evangelistic work, and we had a small trailer, about 19, 20 feet long, house trailer, that we pulled behind a car, and we were in the Ozark Mountains. And this is when I was a teenager, so we did not have interstates then. So the roads were rather hilly and curvy. And we'd been driving from one appointment to the other, and we pulled into a town, into a gas station, and the trailer hitch dropped off. Now, was that God's provision? Was that God's protection? All through the mountains, it held. When we got into town, and into a gas station, that's when the trailer hitch dropped off. I remember a little later, a provision of natural things. We were going through a very, very tough time financially, to the point that there were times that we didn't know where the next meal was going to come from. Literally, we didn't know. Brother Eddie may not appreciate the gift that the Lord sent, but we did. There was a young woman that we knew attending college in the town. Her father was a farmer, and she sent over a 100-pound bag of onions. And but you know, those onions seasoned a lot of things. We had onions in every way you can imagine. But that was a real blessing. That was a real blessing. It was a provision of the Lord. A neighbor happened to be working for a supermarket, and he had access to bread that was just a little bit too old to sell, and he would just bring it over and drop it on our back doorstep. Never said anything, never asked if we had any needs, just brought it and left it there. My parents were making and selling Christian wall plaques, and my father had some health problems, and we weren't able to get out much. And it was one Saturday afternoon, and we did not have enough food in the house to be able to eat the next day. And of course we'd prayed, and I know my folks were people to really trust the Lord. And that afternoon, a couple drove in from a town 90 miles away to talk about plaques. Well, they were talking with my dad in the living room, and from the sounds, it sounded as though they were going to buy at least a few plaques. Well, Mother and I sat down at the kitchen table, and we began to write out a grocery list. And they bought just enough plaques that we had just enough food to last us for that weekend and a little bit beyond. But God knew our need, and God provided. And like I said, God always provides for us. My brother-in-law is a farmer in Texas, and he raises wheat. And years back, when he was young in his walk with the Lord, and he didn't understand as much the concept of keeping the Lord's day holy and not being involved in unnecessary work. And he had wheat ready to harvest, a field of wheat ready to harvest, and he would normally have gone out to harvest it on Sunday afternoon, but he felt he should honor the Lord and not harvest that wheat on Sunday. So he didn't. And wouldn't you know, this thunderstorm comes up and the rain starts pouring down and it's headed straight for the field. He said, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust God. And the rain got closer and closer and closer, and it came right to the edge of the field and stopped. Now, who's going to do that except God? Right to the edge of the field and stops. There's nothing too hard for our God to do. God honored his faith and trust and obedience. His son went into farming, and he was in Colorado. And I don't even remember which grain it was, whether it was wheat or barley or something that he was supposed to be planting. And for some reason, he was not able to get the amount of grain that he needed. And so he thought he was going to be short on planting this field. And as you probably know, the fields out there are pretty big. And so he went around the field and came back and checked the hopper, or whatever you call it, where the grain was. He still had some left. His twin girls were saying, yay, Daddy, keep on going, Daddy. And they were trusting the Lord along with him. He made another round, and he made another round. He was able to plant the entire field. God provided. Then harvest time comes, and many of the farmers in the area did not have a good crop. There was not enough moisture content in the grain that they could get a decent price for it. When my nephew took his grain in, the moisture content was high. It was where it belonged. No one else can put moisture content in one field of grain that's not in an adjoining field of grain, except our God. But God honors your trust and your faith even when you don't see. God's working all the time. I had gone to Evangel College and was working there, going to school. I started going to school and then was offered a job. And later, and this is the other thing that I would say, and you know, there's a couple of you here that are younger, and I know you're looking to God for guidance, but we older folks need guidance too. Because I used to think that the plan of God for you, this is God's plan, and it was one thing, and that's what you did the rest of your life without deviation. And I've come to see that sometimes God leads us to one place for a while, and then he changes to something else for a while. And we have to, even as older adults, be willing to listen to God and to obey and follow him. And I had been at Evangel working, and I was very happy in the job. I was very happy there. But God spoke to me to move to southern New England. And I didn't know exactly where, but I just knew it was one of the three southern New England states. It was not Maine, you know, it was not New Hampshire. It was southern New England. Well, I ended up going to Rhode Island, and my mother accompanied me out, and she said, no, we've got to look for an apartment for you. And I'd looked at the paper, and I said, I'm not going to be able to afford these apartments. They're just too expensive for me. And she found a small ad for an apartment that was in a price range that I could afford. And she said, let's go look at it. I said, Mother, I said, compared to the other prices, that's going to be a place that I don't even want to look at, let alone go to. But she says, you don't know until you get there, until you check it out. So we went, and I noticed a little nameplate beside the doorbell said Walther. I thought to myself, Walther, that's not a common name. I don't know any other Walthers. I've never met them except one teacher back at Evangel. So we went in. The apartment was fine for me, to the point that I had moved a refrigerator with me, but I didn't have a cook stove, and that apartment had a cook stove and not a refrigerator. I mean, you talk about how God coordinates every single detail. And when we got ready and were shaking hands and saying goodbye, I said to her, I said, you know, I've only met one other Walther, and that's out in Missouri. She says, you don't mean Grace Walther, do you? And I said, yes. She said, she's my sister-in-law. So where did God send us? And where did he have an apartment waiting? But in the home of a sister-in-law of a faculty member from Evangel that I knew? You talk about miracles. You got talk about God's working and God's timing. God knows how to provide for us. One thing that was been a lot of other things, and I won't go into the rest of them. I don't want to take up too much time. He's provided protection. I was going to school at night in Arizona, taking some night classes, and I was traveling on Interstate 17, and I was a couple of miles from the places they were holding the classes, and I had a blowout. And this is between 9 and 9:30 at night, and I'm alone, and I'm scared. I was scared. I pulled over because that's the only thing you can do, and stopped, and I thought, I prayed. I said, I looked around. I couldn't get back to the next exit. It was just behind me. It was too far to try to go up to the next one. And then I see somebody walking down the road, walking on our side. It was an interstate. And I thought, oh, I'm a sitting duck. No telling who that is, no telling what's going to happen. But there was nothing I could do but just trust the Lord to take care of me. Well, this young man comes and asks if he can help, and I told him what the situation is. He said, I'll be glad to change that for you. I thought, well, that's nice, but I'm still scared. Another car pulls in behind. It's a woman with a child. Well, I felt a little safer. You know, a woman with a child is not likely to be the kind that's going to, you know, steal your wallet or whatever. And then there were two other vehicles pulled in. And I did not know. They stayed there until the tire was changed and everything was okay. And when the one pulled out, red lights began to flash. It was a highway patrol in an unmarked car that had stopped. And he never said anything about us being a highway patrol. But God had sent protection just when and where I needed it. God knows where we are all the time, every moment of the day. And he's there to take care of us and to protect us and to guide us. When I moved to Woodhaven, I lived for the first couple of years in the faith home with Susan and Eddie. And then I felt it was time for me to get my own house. I still had a house in Arizona that had to be sold. And you can't have a house that far away for that for too much longer and not be there to take care of it. So I had planned to go out in the fall, put the house in the market, hope to sell it. Meanwhile, a house became available on the same street as the Faith Home. And Sister Moni and Sister Gerda both had called up here to camp and told me about it. And I said, well, just have to wait. It's August. Have to wait until the camp closes. I can't get away. But Brother Paul, I thought about the same thing about the time he said it. Well, why don't you go down on a Sunday afternoon, see the house on a Monday morning, and come on back? That way you won't be out of the office all that long. So that's what I did. And by faith, I made an offer on the house, put a down payment on it, but I still had to sell the house in Arizona in order to buy this one. I bought a round-trip ticket, and you know your round-trip tickets, you've got a date that you're leaving and a date you're coming back, and I would be coming back at the end of a month. And so I went on out, started cleaning up the house, getting it ready, saw that I needed some help in selling it. Meanwhile, I had met a man at the church that I had attended there, and it was where Philip had also attended. And I found that the man was in real estate, and he had just come up to me and handed me a card. He said, I'm in real estate. I'll be glad to help you with the sale of your house. I thought, thanks, but, you know, I don't really know him. And the next meeting, he came and he brought a whole brochure that he put together about selling it. And I decided I was going to have to call him. So I called. I said, why don't you come? I'd like to have you try and sell my house. So he came out, I think it was on a Monday. We sat down at the dining room table, talked a little bit about the house and selling it. And he said to me, he said, well, Elisa, he said, where are you living now and what are you doing? I thought, well, I can tell him what I'm doing. I'm working at a children's camp in upstate New York. I'm helping out in the church here. But how do you tell anyone what a faith home is? How do you explain faith home to somebody? So I told him what I was doing, and then I said, and I'm living in a church home called a faith home. He said, faith home? He said, my daughter attended a faith home. I said, she did, and I didn't know whether I heard straight or not. He said, yes, do you ever hear of the faith homes in Zion, Illinois? Well, he stared at me, and I stared at him, and our mouths dropped open. you know, how God put details together. But that's not the end of the story. This is a Monday. Wednesday morning, he put a sign on the property. And within just a few days, we had a cash offer for the house. And they wanted to close during the last week that I planned to be there. So the close would occur before my plane left to go back to New York. Does God lead? Does God guide? But does he want obedience on our part? Some of this was blind faith. I did not know what the future was going to be. I did not see the answers to prayer that God was going to work. But God works all the time, and he works on behalf of his children. Are we listening? Are we listening for that prompt, that quiet prompt in our heart? And are we willing to step out and to obey him quickly, fully, cheerfully, even when you can't see? When the deadline's there, are you expecting that miracle from God? Are you expecting him to intervene? I want to read a poem that became very precious to me. Dr. Ashcroft had a habit of putting some little something of inspiration in our paychecks whenever we got a paycheck. And a couple of stanzas of this poem he put in then. And I've later looked it up, and I've got the five stanzas here. I'd just like to read them in closing. Child of my love, fear not the unknown morrow. Dread not the new demand life makes of thee. Thy ignorance doth hold no cause for sorrow, since what thou knowest not is known to me. Thou canst not see the hidden meaning of my command, but thou the light shalt gain. Walk on in faith, upon my promise leaning, and as thou goest, all shall be made plain. One step thou seest, then go forward boldly. One step is far enough for faith to see. Take that, and thy next duty shall be told thee. For step by step, thy Lord is leading thee. Stand not in fear, thy adversaries counting. Dare every peril, save to disobey. Thou shalt march on, all obstacles surmounting, for I, the strong, will open up the way. Therefore go gladly to the task assigned thee. Having my promise, needing nothing more than just to know, whate'er the future find thee, where'er the future find thee, in all thy journeying, I go before. May God bless you.